You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Dodd-Frank and the regulations that are being put in to help it will be a substantial step forward. I think we get maybe two-thirds of the way to where we ought to be. But for me, that's a very good conclusion. It's so hard to get anything done in an area that's this complex and with political gridlock, etc., that getting two-thirds of the way to where we should be is a really good outcome.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, the financial reform law.
The Dodd-Frank Act, signed into law in July 2010, is the most comprehensive overhaul of the financial system since the 1930s. Passed after months of partisan bickering on the Hill, the law is designed to increase consumer protections and tighten restrictions on financial institutions. It's a complex and hefty law, explains fellow Doug Elliott, and those who oppose it, he adds, may try to change it. Doug, in the summer of 2010, the Dodd-Frank bill was passed, and it was to re-regulate our financial industries. What exactly does the law do?
It's basically meant to keep us from having financial crises like the one that hit us so badly, because as we just saw, they can produce very severe economic problems like the recession we went through. So across the board, Dodd-Frank is trying to make things safer. Regulation of the financial system is an extremely complex thing. So traditionally, we don't have Congress tell regulators exactly what to do. Congress tells them broadly what the rules should be, and then leave it for the regulators to write. So the Dodd-Frank bill was 2,300 or so pages. Now, mind you, big print and lots of margin, but Congress put a lot in. Nonetheless, you'll probably have 10 times that volume of words written by regulators to make this be effective.
What consumer protections are written into the law?
There's now a Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. It's technically under the Federal Reserve, but it's really an independent agency. And the idea there is it used to be that the same regulators who regulated banks for their safety also regulated for consumer protection. And that turns out to be a very hard balancing act. So it was decided that we need an agency that focuses just on protecting the consumers. Because everybody knows, prior to this crisis, we did a bad job of protecting consumers on financial areas. So we had the mortgage problems that blew up, a significant amount of which was due to products that people didn't understand and that got them into trouble. We've had, of course, a lot of complaints about how credit cards have worked and some areas of credit beyond that. So that's an important change. And that's probably one of the most controversial changes, because many more conservative people in Congress and in the nation have worried that this will be a big new bureaucracy. I'm hoping they get the balance right. We clearly need better protection for consumers in this area, but of course we don't want it to just grind the financial sector to a halt.
The financial institutions on Wall Street were seen as the evil empire during the recession, and there is a Wall Street death panel provision in this law. What does that do?
This whole Wall Street death panel thing, it's a glib phrase that doesn't actually mean that much. But to the extent it has meaning, what it says is that if a major non-bank financial institution, like the investment banks that we had before, if they run into trouble in some future crisis, the law tries to make it so that we can only rescue them on a temporary basis with the intent that we kill them. So the idea is that we would keep them going for a period of time to help the rest of the economy, but with the idea of liquidating them.
There is a lot of brouhaha about the Volcker Rule. Tell me what that is.
The Volcker Rule, to my mind, is misguided. It purports to deal with risky investments, but it does it without defining risk or really having a great way of looking at the capacity of a bank to handle the risk. A rich person can take a lot more risk than a poor person. But the Volcker Rule just treats everybody the same, all banks the same, and says that if you're buying an investment in order to try to make money for the firm, that's your principal objective, then you shouldn't do it. You should only be doing these types of investments for customer service in some manner. It's a completely untenable approach. It's impossible to define so-called proprietary investment. There's no dividing line between it and the things we want them to do. I could go on at great length, but it's gotten a fair amount of good press, but not for good reason.
Doug, this is a law with a lot of words attached to it, 2,300 pages. So what does it mean to Mr. and Mrs. America?
The key is there will be a lot more regulation than there was before. Banks and other financial institutions will be safer, but a bit more expensive. But it's a trade-off well worth making, because if we can avoid a crisis like we just went through, that is a tremendous benefit, because a recession like we went through has set us back for years, as well as, of course, causing so much pain and unemployment.
You say that the midterm election outcomes don't necessarily presage the death of Dodd-Frank. Why is that?
There's a lot of Republican opposition to Dodd-Frank, and if they were in charge, they would probably make quite substantial changes. But they're not really in charge. They've taken over one house. To overturn a law, you need to have both houses, and you may need to override a presidential veto. And this is an area where the president and the Democrats in Congress feel quite good about what they did and believe they have a lot of political support. So the Republicans will only be able to nibble around the edges here.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone, go to brookings.edu/mobile.